Joshua chapter 1. So the Jewish people go to Egypt. They stay for 400 years. And then God raises up a leader that leads them out. They get to Kadesh Barnea, a month journey. They're there. Let's go in and see what it's all about. We made it. And they send in the spies, 12 of them. 10 come out and say, it's impossible, it's too much, it's wonderful, it's just beyond our grasp, we're not capable. And 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, say, look, God said we could do it, that's all I need. And we need to get ready to go take it. And they were going to stone them and Moses and Aaron because they said there's just no way. And those 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, are the only ones who went against the crowd, the only ones who saw it God's way, the only ones who had enough faith to believe that God could do it no matter how impossible it was. And Joshua is the one that was in Moses' shadow as Moses was on Mount Sinai speaking with God face to face. There was noise in the camp. Moses came down. Joshua said, there's a war in the camp. And Moses said, this in the Pahokee translation, Moses said, it's not war, it's rock and roll. Sounds about the same. And they went down there and, of course, you know, broke the commandments, went back and got 2 new ones. And so, anyway, Joshua was there in Moses' shadow all along. There was Joshua. It says Moses went up in the mountain alone. But Joshua was there. And it's important to know that he was so close to Moses and he was his right-hand man that Joshua was not there in an official capacity to talk with God. Joshua was there to serve Moses. And if we want to be good leaders, we first have to learn to be good servants. And if we want to be good at winning, we got to learn how to be good at losing. I hate losing. Don't you hate losing? I always said when I was coaching, if losing stops mattering, then coaching is out of your profession. You shouldn't be coaching if you don't care about losing. You ought to want to win. You ought to want to win and coach the win. And they, of course, because of that, the plan to enter is eliminated. God says, I'll give you 40 years of wandering the wilderness. And the ones that went in, and everybody above the age of 20 that didn't support this decision, which is everybody above the age of 20, with the exception of who? Joshua, Caleb, and the Levites. Everybody above the age of 20 will die in the wilderness. And so for 40 years, they continue this journey to the promised land. But instead of entering in on the south end where they were, God sends them all the way around the Dead Sea through modern-day Jordan, where they face battles with other villages and towns and kings. And they begin to die. Over the course of 40 years, they begin to die. God takes Moses up onto a mountain and he says, I want you to look at it. And standing on that mountain, you can see the beautiful layout of the land. Of course, God gave him greater vision to see the entire stretch of the land of Israel. But just from Mount Pisgah, just that one view to see it is beautiful and wonderful. And of course, you'd want to go. God said, Moses, you can't go because you lost your cool, because you hit the rock. I told you to talk to it and you hit it. God, you know, the same thing with preachers. God tells us to talk to the church. He doesn't tell us to abuse the church. And unfortunately, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been in a church where the preacher just gets up and rips everybody all day long and tears everybody up, but that's not God's will. And so God buried Moses. But first he says, Moses, Joshua's been right there by your side the whole time, and he's going to take over. And so he was transitioned into power or leadership. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. You see that? First you got to be a servant before you can be a leader. And he says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Isn't that incredible? Remember God said that to Abraham, wherever your foot, wherever your soul shall pass? He said it to Moses. He says it to Joshua. If you're walking on it, it's yours. Wow. Incredible. And all you've got to do is then what? You got to get it. You got to claim it. He goes on to describe in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, have you all figured that out where that is on the map in relationship to modern day Israel? Long way over there, isn't it? Look at all the land that God has promised from the Mediterranean Sea to the river Euphrates. He describes it here, all the land of the Hittites. But all of this land that right now is occupied by others. But God told them way back here, told Abraham, said, that's your land. And so right now we consider ourselves to be living in a time of relative peace, even though there's war with Ukraine and Russia, and Russia and Turkey and Syria have all met and form their alliance, which if you look in the book of Revelation, there's a battle of Gog and Magog. You may have heard about that. Yeah. It's all getting organized. And, you know, I was reading because they're doing, I don't want to get too bogged down in this. They're doing a study on, you know, getting away from paper money. The study will be back in December, and then they'll decide what they're going to do. Nine countries have already done it. But no paper money to do the study. No paper money. So all you have is the credit cards, the debit cards, you know, electronic on your phone. You can transfer it. Getting close, aren't we? Isn't that exciting? All this stuff is falling into place. No, you're all not excited about it. I'm not excited about the no paper money. I'm excited about the Jesus is coming back part. Yeah. And we're headed that way. But that's the reality. Somebody was telling me the other day, said, well, and this is a young lady that grew up in church, but I was talking to her grandparents, and they said, well, you know, she's at a point now where she says, well, she doesn't know. How can I know about God? How can I know it's real? I said, you don't have to point at her anything except prophecy. Man, just all the things that the Lord said were going to happen in the last days that are happening. And, of course, a lot of the stuff that we look at, and including the money, you know, that there will be, in order to buy and sell, you have to have the chip or the mark of the beast, as it's referred to. You have to have it in your hand, your right hand or your forehead. And we've got the technology for that now, Ben, and we've had it. And it's now being used for many different things, including just accessing your office. Right? People can do that. So we're getting closer and closer to the reality of that. And the doing away with the currency, going to a digital currency only, of course, it would still be based on the U.S. dollar until it's based on the New World dollar. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. But all this stuff's coming to pass. And the stuff that we're looking at is in the tribulation or the Great Tribulation. It's in one of those periods, and so as we draw closer to it, but remember, that doesn't mean we're in the tribulation, but it's one of those cycles, right? And we do the same thing, and we work up to it, and the whole pandemic, and you couldn't buy or sell unless you had the mark. Well, here we are. You can't buy or sell unless you have the vaccine, which it's been proven to be almost ineffective. They say, well, but what would have happened if you didn't have it? We'll never know. We'll never know. But, you know, here we keep doing this, and now they've figured out how much power they can grab, how much control they can have. Guys, this is, you say, well, that, you're getting political. No, I'm talking about prophecy. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about prophecy. We're getting so close that, you know, all these little circles, okay, now they figured out what they can do. And I'm not just talking about American government. I'm talking about worldwide government, how they can lock people in their homes and lock down all the businesses and force them to take injections that they don't want. And they found out they could do it, and all the way to the local level where the power has gone to their heads. So they, here we are. We're in one of those cycles. And as they go, sooner or later, that final cycle is going to hit, boom, and that's going to be the final cycle. And we're doing all these things in little pieces and little parts and little tastes until finally it's going to hit. We're so close. But anyway, I don't know. That's not in Joshua, is it? But the point being that Israel, they're fighting over this little piece of land called Jerusalem, right? Always fight over the piece of Jerusalem. But God said they have from the Mediterranean to the Great Sea all the way to Euphrates River, which is all the way over in Iraq. You know, Iran and Iraq, all of that, Syria, all of that. And he said all the way down to the wilderness of Sinai. All that whole part, God said, that all belongs to the Jews. Now, right now it doesn't. Not according to the fences and the landmines and the armored tanks that are, I mean, it's everywhere over there. Electric fences. Big signs that say, do not cross, right? No trespassing. But God said it all belongs to the Jews. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And this is God talking to Joshua. Joshua, do you want this job? Well, let me ask you that question. Do you want this job? You want to take over Moses' job? I don't. I mean, Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And all they did is try to kill him the whole time, talk behind his back the whole time, complain about him the whole time. And there was a bunch of them too. And it didn't matter what happened, whose responsibility was it? It all came back to Moses. We're hungry. Okay. Whose fault is it? It's Moses' fault. We're thirsty. Whose fault is it? Moses' fault. Everything comes back, it was Moses' fault. Well, let me tell you something. Moses, as I read, Moses did not drag any of them out of Egypt. Do y'all remember reading that he did? Now, when I look at the story of Lot, right, Sodom and Gomorrah, I remember that the Bible says that the angels had to grab them by their coats and drag them out of the city. Y'all remember reading that? But I don't remember it reading anywhere where Moses grabbed anybody and said, y'all have to leave Egypt. You can't stay here. I must pull you out. No, they all left on their own. It was their decision. Following the plagues, seeking to worship God, they made their own decision, but then somehow along the way it became Moses' fault. So do you want his job? Not me. I want to go take care of sheep on the backside of the desert for my father-in-law. All right? Leave me. Let me go back to what I was doing. Anyway, Moses has died, and Joshua says, hey, somebody's got to do it, and God put me here, and he's given me the ability, and now God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, I'll not fail you. Okay. And God says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. Don't be a wimp. Don't back down. Don't be scared. Unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land. Joshua, you're going to see this thing through. Joshua, you're going to have everything divided out the way it should be. So you don't give up and you don't quit. You're going to see it all the way through. Only, verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, you want to succeed in this? You want to do well in this? Then stick with it. Don't start going off to one side or the other side. Stay right down the line. Stay in the law. This is what I said to do. Don't change it. Wouldn't it be easy to do it that way? Wouldn't it be easiest as a church if we just preach the Bible? And somebody said, well, what do you believe about X, Y, Z? Well, what does the Bible say about X, Y, Z? That's what I believe. Well, do you believe it's wrong to do this? Well, the Bible says it is, so really, I don't have any argument with you. God said it. Well, you think it's right that we should do this? Well, what did God say? All right, then that's what we do. Period. What's the Bible say? Why is it so important for us to read this and memorize it and get it in our hearts? Why? Because then when somebody says, well, what do we do about this? We go, well, what does the Bible say? It really doesn't matter what your church believes, except that it should believe whatever the Bible says. That's it. We believe the whole thing. You really believe that God created the earth in 6 days? That's what he said. I believe he rested on the seventh. I believe all of it. Jonah and the whale, and parting of the sea, the parting of the Jordan, manna from heaven, the resurrected Savior. I believe all of it. I believe he's coming back. I believe all of it. He said, if you want to prosper, do it my way. Isn't that what he says in verse number 7? You want to do well, do it my way. Pretty clear. This book of law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Stay in the word, read the word, pray about the word, think about the word, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Who's it up to? Right? Sitting on the couch eating Cheetos, wondering why I can't get a job. How many applications have you filled out? None. When you don't have a job, looking for a job is your job. Unless you just don't want a job, unless you're retired and happy. How many of you are happy to be retired? Loving it, right? But if you know, it's up to us. We can't wait for somebody to hand it to us. He said, it is up to you. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. He didn't say, I will make it prosperous. He said, you will make it prosperous. But he said, you've got to do what I tell you to do. And thou shalt have good success. But it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to you. Shouldn't be waiting on someone else to deliver it. Make it happen. I've got to do mine. You got to do yours. We've got to do our part. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Who told you to do this, Joshua? Joshua, if you do it my way, it'll work. And if you do it my way and it doesn't work, there's only one person for you to look to, and that's me. Have not I commanded thee? This is what I'm telling you to do. This is what God said. I commanded you. I'm the one that sent you. He, really look at it, guys. I think about these people who have a loss of faith or a loss of belief. At some point in their life, they go, well, I don't really know if I really believe. Did you ever believe? I mean, do you look at what God did? Did he not convict you by his Holy Spirit, draw you to him, that you accepted him as your Savior? You asked forgiveness of your sins. You trusted in him as your Lord. At some point, you gave your all of your hope and all of your faith and all of your trust in God. So what changed? Did you not really believe? All those times you prayed, were you really not talking to God? Guys, let's not forget where we've been. And that's what God is saying to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee? This is not coming from out of the blue. He said, I'm telling you to do it. This has been the plan all along to get there. We've gotten this far. I need you to carry it across the finish line, get everything divided out. And I'm the one commanding it. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. What was he to be afraid of? What could happen? What could possibly go wrong? Okay, the people would be afraid. Okay, the giants could actually be stronger. People could be afraid. The enemy could be stronger. Got rid of all them, though. What else? What could go wrong? I mean, when they go to divide out the land among the tribes, you got 2.5 tribes that are staying on this side of Jordan. Everybody else is going across. What could possibly go wrong? What if somebody says, well, I want that land. I don't want this land. I want that land. I want the line to be over here. I want to hone all the way to the river. I want the mountain, right? People ever do that? The unknown. And the truth is, for all of us, what does this afternoon hold? The unknown. Come on, man. We might think it's going to be just like every other Sunday. We're going to go to lunch and go home, maybe take a nap. Probably not. All right, come back to church tonight. Right? So we just have that routine and we think everything's just going to continue as it is, but it doesn't. And now Joshua, he's taking that role that Moses had where no matter what goes wrong, it's his fault. Which is basically like pastoring. Right? I mean, I don't even mess with the air conditioning as far as the mechanical side of it, but if it's broke, they blame me. It's my fault. It's up to me. So I understand what Joshua, God says, but Joshua, you got to have confidence in it. You got to believe in it. You got to know I'm the one sending you. And you got to see, you got to have that vision in your imagination, in your heart, in your spirit of what it's going to be like when it's finished. How many of us can dream that way and have vision and trust God that it's all going to work out? He said, I'm the one commanding you. I want you to take this word. I want you to meditate in it. I want you to have good courage and be not afraid, neither be dismayed. When they come in and complain, and when even the people that are closest to you tell you that you're doing it wrong or you're going the wrong way, but you know that you have stuck to the word of God and you've been in prayer, and you know that this is what God told you to do, so you're going to do it anyway. Even when everybody else tries to tell you you're wrong, dismay. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God's going to be there. I'm glad. So Joshua commanded the officers, verse 11, pass through the host, command the people, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And he says, now these 2.5 tribes that are going to stay back, this is your land, that's fine, but you still got to go help. Right? Just because you got what you wanted out of it doesn't mean you can quit helping everybody else. We're in this together. We got to finish it together. We've come all this way, and we expect you to continue to participate. Verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest. How does that apply practically to who we are today? Guys, you've been through some stuff. You have. You finished it. You've been through it. But he said, you got to the end of yours, but now it's time to take what you've learned and help other people get through the end of theirs. Until they have rest. You've had a wayward child. Well, you can use that experience to help others. Troublesome marriage or career failure, trying to help strangers or friends. And we can take those lessons and help others. Once we've walked down that through that valley, you say, well, I'm finished with mine now. Praise the Lord, I got through it. I survived it. Didn't think I would. Okay. But you could use that experience to help other people that are going through it. Look at what he says. He says, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he has given you. It's the whole point of those experiences. Turn them to ministry. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, he says in verse 15. Verse 16, they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Isn't that great? I bet he was scared when he just got up there and told them. He called all the officers together and he says, guys, get everybody together. Within 3 days, we're going in. And everybody said, okay, we're with you. And he stepped down and he thought, boy, that was easy. That was pretty good. Well, I hope the rest of it goes so easily. Right, nobody fought back. Nobody said, well, then we had 3 days, so which is it? Is it today, tomorrow, or the next day? Right. Be more specific. You say we're going to go, but where are we going to go? What's the entry point? You ever, you have any of those people in your life that got to know everything now? Kids do that. What are we having for supper? What difference does it make? Why does it matter? Because we're going to serve supper. You're going to eat. But they want to know as soon as I pick them up, what are we having? Or the one I always hear, when are we going to get there? Knowing is not going to change it. Right, if I tell you it's going to be half an hour and it's not going to change, you'll just enjoy the ride till you get there or be miserable the whole time. Doesn't matter to me. So, but Joshua got up there and he gave the plan and nobody questioned, nobody kicked back, nobody said it's a bad idea. Nobody said, well, hold on a second, we already got ours. We don't really plan on helping the rest of y'all. Nobody said that. Everybody was in agreement. I love it when that happens. In fact, I'll tell you, most of the time when people come in and sit in my office and we talk about whatever the problem is in their life, or I sit in their home and we talk about their struggles, You know what? When we get done talking, they're in complete agreement. And then they go do something else most of the time. And I say, why? Why did you even ask if you weren't going to follow my counsel? But anyway. But right now, they all looked at Joshua and they said, you got it, buddy. We were there for you. And so Joshua leaves that meeting feeling great about it. They say, verse 17, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Now, hold on a second. I remember how they followed Moses. That was not very promising. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Verse 18, look at what they say. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken to thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. The people put Joshua in such exaltation that they said, if anyone opposes you, Joshua, they're to be executed. That's extreme, isn't it? That's extreme. But that's the promise. In other words, they are wholeheartedly committed and surrendered to the plan that God will use Joshua to fulfill. It starts there. And it should start there. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about getting married when he got married. And he said they got all the way up to the altar. You know, they play the music, and the bride walked down. He was standing there, and the minister was standing there. And he said they walked all the way up there, and then he just put his hands up, and he says, stop. When the groom does that, it's time to take pause, isn't it? And he looked at the minister and he says, Reverend, I need to do something right now. And the preacher said, okay. And he looked at her and he said, I need you to understand something. If you're not 100% all in, if you think there's any chance that this is going to end in a divorce, separation, that we're not going to work it all the way through the rest of our lives, then let's right now suspend the whole thing. We'll all go have a party, and you go your way and I go mine. But if we're going to continue this thing right here in front of all these people and this preacher, in the eyes of God, if we're going to do that, we got to be 100% convinced all the way. And she said, okay. And so they got married. And, you know, but he said, I want you to understand something. Now, this is for real. And I know that we do that in the ceremony. But I think when the groom throws up his hands and stops everything and reinforces, this has got to be the way it's going to be. That means something. Because if we don't start there, where can we go? And with Joshua, if they didn't start there by saying we're all in, there was nowhere to go. We've got to be all in if we're going to see this thing all the way through, if we're going to find the success that God has planned for us. All right, let's take a break.